Welcome back to Up to the Miners. I'm your host, Connor Ramson, and with me, as always, he's the Trevor Zegras to my Alex Killorn. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
That's because he got hurt, and that's then they had to.
He did get hurt, which is a totally different thing, but yeah, well, I saw that today also. But no, it's about, well, we wanted to talk about how Trevor Zegras finally signed. 3 years, 5.3 million, or 5.75. 575 for 3 years. That is not very much, but I thought it was significant because 34-year-old Alex Killorn is currently on a 4-year, $6.25 million contract. So he's making $500K more for an extra year. 34-year-old Alex Killorn.
Yeah, I don't know if that was on, like, that was their way of making Alex Killorn part of the story. Because how, I don't know. Why does it matter what he makes? He's just a guy you brought in. Like, he's not the leader. He just got there.
I find it crazy that they played hardball with Trevor Zegras like this aggressively.
It was weird that they hadn't, like the preseason games, you're not seeing him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't watch any Anaheim preseason games.
Obviously. Yeah, of course.
If you were
a Ducks fan.
Yeah, the whole time you knew he, like, your best. I would say your best player.
Rick Terry,
even Gibson when he's better, like when he's playing, because that's a pretty valuable position. But possibly, yeah,
Leo Carlson.
Wow, that's too early to say. But is he going to play, or is he going back to
Leo Carlson? I'm pretty sure he's going to play.
Is he going back to
IKEA? At least in part, because the Ducks are like absolute dog shit. So,
But yeah, like even the NHL Instagram posted a clip of Trevor Zegras highlights a week ago.
They do love them some Trevor Zegras.
But I'm like, he's not going to play. Like, he's not.
Yeah, like, it's not signed.
Yeah, so we don't know if he's going to play, which was, I thought was like odd.
It was. It was a very strange situation, especially since they were sitting on like $15 million in cap space. It was like, well, why is he not signed?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what they were thinking too, because like they did the bridge deal, but like they have tons of cap space. Like, you do a bridge deal when you're almost capped out, so you can't afford to do the long-term extension, but right. they could have afforded to do the long-term extension. So I don't understand why they, I don't know, maybe they don't think he's that good, which is interesting.
Maybe they don't think he's that good. Maybe they're trying to play the long game here and try and save cap space for Carlson. I don't know. I think
like the long game, because Carlson's 3-year entry level will run out at the same time as this one for Zegras. So I would have thought, like, if you wanted to play the long game, you signed him to like an 8-year. Because if Zegras goes crazy in these 3 years, you're going to have to pay him like, you know, something stupid.
That's fair, but maybe I don't think eventually they had a choice. They were like, we just got to sign him because we can't have him not play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think they should have gone for the long term.
No, but maybe that's deal. They didn't want to do, they wanted the long term deal. He didn't want it. He wanted more money. They didn't want to give him more money. So, yeah. Like, you know, you meet in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough spot for them for sure. And that is probably concludes our Anaheim Ducks content for the entire rest of the season, because
I don't know if Carlson makes it. I'll be interested.
That's true. He is an interesting player, and Zegras is definitely going to do two or three things that we go, ooh.
He's going to do the Michigan.
Yep.
I promise you that.
Two or three other just stupid things.
Dude, they based the whole NHL 23 video game on the fact that he flipped it over the puck or over the net. He flipped the puck over the net. That was their advertisement. He was on the cover. They turned it into a move in the game.
Yeah.
Like, so I was a little shocked when they were like, oh, he's not playing preseason. He might not even play this year. It's like, your cover, like, if you're EA, you're pissed.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, we got to have this kid on the ice.
Get something going here. Yeah.
What are we doing? It'd be like Kale McCarr. He's on the cover this year.
Yeah.
I know we usually do like a who do you think is going to be on the cover before it comes out, but I forgot about it. I think we did this last year or 2 years ago.
I think we actually did play this game. We just did it so long ago that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I want to bring this up. The flip over the net pass, the Zegras move.
Yes.
Trevor Zegras has done like 10 things that are cooler than that.
I think everybody talks about that. I think the Michigan is cooler than that.
I think, yeah, and especially because the way he does the Michigan.
It's in motion. It's not stop-start.
It's actually better than, like Svechnikov does the Michigan all the time. But the way Zegras does it without stopping is way more ridiculous.
That was, like, the clip he did, like, the clip against Montreal in the bubble.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
He put it around the guy, goes behind the net. And as he's going around the net, he picks up, and you're like, this guy is...
It's ridiculous.
He's in motion.
Yeah, it's completely insane. And, like, his puck handling is unbelievable. He's done... I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to sound like the old guy who's like, oh, the flip thing's not that cool or whatever. But, like, he's done, like, 10 things that are cooler than that. Like, he is such a highlight reel that it's weird that that's considered, like, the Zegras.
And it was it is concerning when you're like, he's not going to play. And a lot of people want to see this player.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're Anaheim, you're like, that's going to hurt ticket sales. If you're EA, you're like, God damn it. Like,
come on, guys.
Please play the cover athlete from last year in the first NHL game.
We have a lot invested in this.
Yeah, and I'm sure Gary Bettman is the same way. He's like, oh, for fuck's sakes, like, come on.
Yeah.
He's famous. He's a handsome young man.
Yeah, and he's more famous than bigger American stars in terms of, like, better players.
I think,
like, he's more famous than Jack Hughes, even though Jack Hughes is much better than him.
He's more famous than Jack Hughes.
He's more famous than Jason Robertson.
Jason Robertson, more famous than him. I was going to say Matthew Tkachuk, but Matthew Tkachuk got, like, on TNT with, like,
he
beats him out.
He had a hot Tkachuk summer.
But this guy's also, like, he lives in, like, you know, he lives in California.
Yeah.
He's handsome. He plays hockey. Probably has a boatload of money.
He does insane shit.
He does, he's got crazy hands that all the kids are like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I don't see why he wouldn't. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of other parties involved that had investment in him signing a contract.
Yeah.
Because, like, again, like, EA would be like, come on.
I agree.
Please, what are we doing?
So let's talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs as we always eventually.
No, do. I want to continue talking about Trevor Zegras.
They're currently in the middle of training or preseason, playing right now against the Montreal Canadiens and winning 2-1.
We were pretty good last year on not doing episodes during games, but it's the preseason, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't count. Yeah. Now we can talk about these camp battles. As a little cheat sheet, I prepared myself a little cheat sheet for all the players who are definitely going to be on the team.
Ramston did this all through high school. You should take his diploma away.
And then all of the players who may or may not make the team and who do or do not require waivers. I feel like
you really broke it down.
Oh, yeah. It didn't take that long. It was very easy. So roster locks. And you tell me if you disagree with any of these guys being for sure on the team, but I think you'll agree with me. Austin Matthews, John.
How
Tavares,
dare you?
Mitch Marner, William Nylander, Tyler Bertuzzi, Max Domi, David Kampf, Cali Yarncroc, Ryan Reeves, Morgan Riley, TJ Brody, John Klingberg, Jake McCabe, Mark Giordano, Timothy Liljegren, Ilya Samsonov.
Well, okay, so I thought Timmins was going to make the team.
Right, we'll get to those. Hurt. I'm just saying these are the guys who are for sure on the team.
Right, no, but I was just breaking down who I think might be out.
Yeah, I have an injured
right, injured exactly. Section. So, like, I would say, yeah, that's fair.
And there's one guy who
Ryan Reeves, I don't think should be on the.
I know, but he is. We're just gonna have to come to peace with that, unfortunately.
Because I watched him in one preseason game, and it was
he's not good. He is quite bad. But there's, you know, it is what it is. There's one other name that I have to mention.
So wait, sorry, I'm quickly. You're saying that's your opinion on who's making the team, or is that just like, you know, like that's what it's
these are guys who have contracts that mean they can't really be sent down to the minors.
Could they be scratched?
They could be scratched if we could afford to carry guys who aren't playing, which I don't think the Leafs can do. So, but yes, these are the guys who are going to be on the NHL roster, not necessarily on the ice, but on the roster.
Okay. You're right. Sorry. I was just trying to figure out, like,
I have another important name who definitely also fits in this thing, but I wanted to talk about him individually because he's been the big star of the preseason. And that is Mr. Matthew Nyes.
He's been good. I've liked Robertson too. But Matthew Nyes, I mean, we saw it in, what did he play? Two regular season games?
Yeah.
And then like the rest of the playoffs? He was a beast.
Yep.
Was he out when he was injured? He was out, or what did he?
He got injured in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
He got concussed.
That's right.
He has been the best player in probably every game he's played so far in the preseason. I mean, and the Leafs haven't played Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, any of those guys very often. So, you know,
or they didn't do it together. Like they split it up. It's one night it's Marner, Matthews, the next night it's Nylander. Like,
yeah,
they're really using this preseason as a way to figure out who can fill out the bottom.
Yes, exactly. And Matthew Nyes has been, I mean, just absolutely unbelievable and a complete lock to make the team and a guy who's going to play on the top three lines for sure. Like whether he's on the second line with Tavares or the third line with whoever ends up centering that, he's on the team. Like no question. He's a star and came along at the perfect time. It's a beautiful thing.
No, I remember the hype coming into it, Matthew Nyes was like, he's it. And then, you know, you watched a little bit of it during the playoffs and you're like, oh, he's good, but he's not like, he's not Matthews. He's not, you know, anybody that's going to make a big impact. But if he was that good, that young.
Yeah, exactly.
If he's already that good in his first 8-9 games of the of playoff hockey, give him some a full regular season. Get his legs under him. This kid might be decent.
I mean, we'll talk about lines and stuff, but I would love to see him playing with John Tavares.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean,
you were going to say Austin Matthews?
Yeah, I was going to say, I understand that Bertuzzi and Marner are his wing, like his, that's the line, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's the Hyman, that's the...
I 100% think that's what they're
doing. The same thing, it's the same setup. We've seen it, and it works, so why not do it again? But I think I would love to see Nyes get up there and at least play with Matthews.
I'm fine with that too. I would like to see, if we're talking about wishes that will never come true, I would like to see Nyes, Tavares, Marner.
That would be great.
And then Bertuzzi, Matthews, Nylander.
That's the thing is...
there's no wrong answer.
There isn't one. There is, well, okay, until we watch them do that and it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's a wrong answer. Right now, I think if we had have gone into this year, if you would have asked us 6 months ago and you're like, after they got eliminated, what is the top two lines for Toronto look like next year? Like, you would hope that Matthews will be there, but a lot of people were saying Marner's gone. A lot of people saying that Nylander was gone. And then, we kept everybody and you added Bertuzzi and a 20-year-old stud.
Yeah.
It's impressive. It's very impressive.
He absolutely belongs. So now we have the next group, which is waiver guys, which are guys who either make the team or the Leafs lose them on waivers.
Okay.
So we're looking at Sam Lafferty, Or, I mean, they could clear waivers. Some of these guys I think will actually clear waivers. But we have Sam Lafferty, Noah Gregor, who is on a PTO, but who I assume the Leafs are going to sign.
Yes, I know. I think it looks like they're going to sign him.
And he just scored a goal in the game that we're not watching. So there you go. Bobby McMahon, Kyle Clifford, Connor Timmins, William Lagesson, Simone Benoit, Maxime Lajoie, and then the goalies, Martin Jones and Joseph Woll. Let's do the forwards because it's the easiest.
Sure.
I'm assuming Noah Gregor gets a contract.
Yep.
I'm assuming Sam Lafferty is on the team.
Yes.
And I'm assuming they send down Bobby McMahon and Kyle Clifford, and they both clear waivers and no one claims them, especially Clifford. Because
I was going to say, Kyle Clifford, I forgot he's still playing.
It would be wild if someone claimed him.
And if somebody claims him, take it.
The defenseman's more interesting because I'm not sure all of these guys would clear waivers. And one of them, I mean, you wanted to talk about him because you said you thought he was going to make the team. He's now injured week to week with a serious knee problem, which is Connor Timmins. And William Lagesson has been good. Mm-hmm. Simone Benoit has been not so good and also injured. Not actually sure who Maxime Lajoie is, so I'm assuming he's getting sent down.
Right. Yeah, no, I like the Timmins thing. He had, I watched some of the highlights. Obviously, I didn't watch the preseason games, all of them, but I did watch the highlights of the ones that they played that I didn't see. Timmins has 4 points the other night.
Yeah, he did. He looked amazing. Like,
he looked amazing. And I really thought he would be the one that would push Liljegren down.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
And it doesn't look like it.
He's going to be out for like a long time.
Yep.
That means, I guess, that they don't have to waive him, which is nice. Because I think the assumption was they would have to waive him because of the salary cap. And because by doing that, he probably would have got claimed. The injury means he can go on LTIR for a while. So we don't have to worry about that till later.
Right.
It also means that when they send him down later, he'll be fresh off an injury and he might not get claimed. So this might work out into Connor Timmins playing on the Marlies and still being a part of the Leafs organization somehow, which might not have happened if he hadn't destroyed his knee.
That's interesting. Okay, because I really thought, like, yeah, I didn't know all that, but it just seems like he should be on the team when he's able.
He looked very good.
At least given a shot.
I agree. Yeah, he looked great.
So, yeah.
It's William Lagesson in the game I watched was actually very good also.
Okay.
Not as good as Connor Timmins, but like really looked like a okay NHLer. He didn't look like anything crazy or special or anything, but he looked pretty solid, which is good.
I mean, that's great.
Nice guy to have if he clears waivers and he's an option.
Well, I thought about this too. Don't you find that over the years of us watching every Leaf season, what position besides goaltending gets injured more.
You said that. Yeah. You need defensemen. Always.
Those defensemen, it's the classic thing. You run through all of them. You know, every year they come up with a stat during the playoffs. Who used the most defense? It's always crazy.
Yeah.
It's always insane. Those guys get banged up. They're like, oh, this is our 18th defenseman. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Again, not counting goalies. Yes. So I always like when the Leafs have a couple extras that they can hang on to. I'm not upset about having them in the system.
I remember last year we played a game against Dallas, and this game is memorable because this is not the Nick Robertson overtime winner.
Okay,
This is the game that we won where Matt Murray played possibly the best game of goaltending I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay.
This was during the healthy Matt Murray hot streak period, and he made like 45 saves or something and won the Leafs the game by himself. And I'm going to actually look up, if I can find it, who the Leafs played on defense that night. Because I remember that the Leafs had absolutely everybody injured for that game.
Right.
And that the Leafs played, I think it was Jordy Ben on their top pair.
On their top pair.
Yeah, because we had so many.
I remember some Jordy. I remember some Jordy Ben nights.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Oh no, this isn't even it. I think I was mistaken, but this is also wild. It might have been the Nick Robertson Dallas game, but this is wild. This is still a lot of injuries. Mark Giordano, Justin Hall, Liljegren, Mete, Sandin, and Connor Timmins.
Those are the injuries, or that's the
Leafs lineup. So okay. The injuries were Morgan Riley, TJ Brody, Jake Muzzin.
Yeah. No, and there were games where Philip Kroll played.
Yes.
Like there were games where you're like, oh, these are like AHL guys, and you know
they tried to play Carl Dahlstrom, and then he got injured immediately, which was like, what are we even?
So it's
Jordy Ben played a lot.
Jordy Ben, no, but that's what I'm saying is I remember Jordy Ben Knights.
Yeah.
He
played 12 games last year for the Leafs.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you gotta you have to remember that defense, I think, is one of those positions that you want extra guys, you want those options.
For sure.
I'm not too worried. You're right. Maybe it is a blessing in disguise that Timmins is injured.
Yeah, if we can hang on to him,
that's never. Great. Yeah, it's not great to say, but that's pretty. That's a good.
If it means
point.
We can keep him around, that would be great.
We need defense.
It would be cool if we can keep William Lagesson too.
Yeah,
because he's looked kind of good. Simone Benoit, I think we'll be able to keep because he hasn't very good, and also he's been having back problems, but. Mm-hmm. That's okay too. At least it's a guy who you can call up if you need him. So
right.
All of that's good. Before we talk about the big one, let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about the goaltending.
Oh,
the truly
yes.
fascinating camp battle where the loser will almost certainly end up on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I love Keith Petruzzelli. Oh, we're starting again.
And we're back. And we're going to talk about the goaltending situation more than we just were.
Yeah, of course. We didn't say anything before this.
Absolutely not. I absolutely do want to go to Marley's game and go see the Hildebeest.
The Hildebeest, that's insane. Crazy nickname. You say, we looked it up. You say 6'7"?
That's what they say. He looks... gigantic.
What is he? Swish? Swedish?
Swedish.
Ah, these freaking Swedes.
Yep, Swedish. He will not be making the Toronto Maple Leafs, but he will be one of the goalies on the Marlies. I think probably the starter, because the other guy who you mentioned before the break, Keith Petruzzelli, who will also not be on the Leafs, is kind of bad. So I think he's going to be the backup.
Well, it is always interesting because people I think a lot of times nobody focuses really on their AHL starter and backup.
That's true.
If you're covering the team, you're not discussing the AHL starter and backup. But as we've learned over the years, you need four goalies at least.
You need at least three for sure.
You're right. At least three, but four in case
four is nice.
It's funny, after that David Ayers game, I think everybody was like, we need goalies.
Yeah.
Obviously the e-bug, the emergency backup goalie, is always a chance of happening because you can only bring two goalies at a time. But that doesn't mean that the e-bug needs to go in the next game. You need other guys.
Yeah.
You need guys that, like we saw with Sjogren.
Yes.
We saw with Wolf when he came in.
Yes.
Wolf,
yeah. And Chalgren's the perfect example, right, of a guy who you're like, well, he's not really an NHLer, but we don't have any goalies right now.
Exactly.
So we need somebody who's going to come in here and not play so badly that we have no chance to win. And he was perfectly capable of doing that. He wasn't good, except for the shutout in his first game, which was amazing. He wasn't good, but what he was – was good enough that the Leafs didn't automatically lose because he was playing.
Yes, but we see it every year. Look at Florida this year.
Exactly. Great point.
Spencer Knight. And then and Bobrovsky, you know, he's hurt. And Alex Lyon comes in. Or I think Bobrovsky sucked.
He was just really bad. Yeah.
And Alex Lyon came in, carried them to the playoffs. It was a big ta-da, big to-do. And
then Bobrovsky basically carried them the finals single-handed.
Came back, and then he was like, great, you know what? All I got to do is play 20 games tops. I think I can do that.
And none of that would have happened without Alex Lyon.
So it happens every year. Aiden Hill, even that.
Aiden Hill. That's actually an even better example.
So many examples of teams realizing that it's not just starter and backup. It's third. And the guy that you're going to have in the AHL and playing games, because that's how you keep a goalie fresh.
Yeah.
You can't just have a third goalie healthy scratched every night.
Leafs played Joseph Woll in playoff games at the end of last year. I think it's important to remember that he played game 4, which the Leafs won, and game 5, which the Leafs lost against the Florida Panthers, because Murray and Samsonov were both injured.
It's the famous sometimes you forget that.
Mm-hmm.
That we had our AHL starter.
Yes.
As the goalie for our final two games in playoffs. And it's that famous photo of Gudas screaming in Wool's face.
Yeah.
After they and you got to remember this guy had only played a couple NHL games before that.
Yep.
So you need depth. You discuss the AHL goalies because you're curious. And if I think you're right. I think Petruzzelli's going to shit the bed. And, you know, the Terminator's going to come in there, or whatever you call them.
The Hildebeest.
The three-headed monster.
As a, you what know, is like a you find on the African savannah.
What is it? What is a Hildebeest?
A wildebeest?
What is a wildebeest?
Those, how do I want to put this? They're like African deer, or like... maybe cows? It's hard to... I'm not sure what we have, a true equivalent.
Easy there, Ramson. Don't...
we don't. They're antelopes. But, I don't know how to describe what an antelope is without... They're like deer.
Sure.
Like goats. I don't know. It's hard to...
Yeah. All right. Whatever. So
they are what they are.
It's... you have to talk and think about the... you have to also invest in your AHL goalies. Detroit has Reimer. I saw they got Reimer, they got Husso, and they got Alex. They signed Alex Lyon.
Yes, yeah.
And sure, I mean, I'm sure Husso's the starter. He goes down, Reimer's in. At least you have Lyon on the bench. And if Reimer,
what if it's Pride Night? Reimer, then you gotta bring someone for Reimer.
Then he can't play. Then he can't play.
Then you gotta bring someone in for James Reimer. They also drafted, what's his name in the first round a few years ago? Sebastian Kosa.
Oh, yes. But also, Martin Jones. Because we're on the goalies, we got to talk about Martin Jones.
This is where we were getting to, for sure.
Okay, sorry.
The battle for Leafs backup.
Yeah.
Jones versus Woll.
I prefer Woll.
I do, too, but... neither of them are playing much in the preseason because Woll is sick, I think. Jones has been good.
Wait, you're saying Woll is sick and not in the young people term where it's...
No, I mean, actually, I think he has the flu.
Like, he's got the runs.
Yeah.
He's sick. Simran recently told me I got sick and she's like, oh, it's a man cold. Woll has a man cold.
Definitely. Which,
evidently, is not the same as a real cold.
No, of course not.
Apparently, it's way more dramatic.
Well, he's sick. He's not playing. Jones has been playing pretty well. What makes this more complicated, I think, is that Andre Vasilevsky is out for 8 to 10 weeks with a back surgery.
And I know we're just doing Leafs now, but we're on goalies, and that is... 2 months.
But this affects the Leafs in a big way because the backup goalie for Tampa Bay is Jonas Johansson. who you may remember from his time with Colorado and with the Panthers, but he sucks. He's horrible. Oh. He's a very, very bad goalie. And so I think basically you can almost guarantee that whichever one of Jones or Wohl loses and goes on waivers will be claimed by the Tampa Bay Lightning to play as their backup.
And that's fine. I mean,
it is, but it just means that like you can't keep both.
No, or maybe even their starter.
Like until Vasilevsky gets back, I think Martin Jones is going to be the starting goalie for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
But what I'm saying is, if you're the Leafs, you're not putting Wohl on waivers.
No, Jonas Johansson, by the way, famously played two games for the Florida. He played four games for the Florida Panthers and had a 774 goals against average in those two games.
You're obsessed with this guy.
One of them was the game where Montreal scored 10 goals. Remember that?
No, I don't.
That's this guy. So Martin Jones would be incredible for them.
Right, but obviously, like, you're not going to give like, if you have your choice, you're going with Jones because you're not going to give the chance for somebody like Tampa or even – you know what's funny is it's waivers, right? So it goes through all the teams.
Might not even get to them.
Yeah. It might not even get to Tampa if it's fucking Wohl because somebody's going to be like, oh, what, a 24, 25-year-old goalie that's played playoff games and, you know, didn't do terribly. Point. He's not going to make it to Tampa. Jones might make it to Tampa. So, I think Jones is the obvious choice
to go send down. Choice to send down.
Yeah, just
yeah, to yeah, go yeah, 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 Jones. Yeah, yeah.
To go, no, obviously not to play.
Back I'm up. Just saying.
I don't know.
Be clear here.
I don't know if it cut out, but like, no, I'm saying we're putting Jones on waivers, and we're
I agree. You send Martin Jones down, and you hand him a first class ticket to Florida on the way.
You can have the lie down seats. You know, like the first class. Or like their pods, they're fantastic.
It'll be nice.
It turned into a bed. One time I slept from Toronto to Calgary the whole flight. The only reason I woke up was because the guy next to me was like, hey, we're about to land, like you have to set your chair straight, because I was up, I was literally on an angle sleeping.
Yeah, we'll hook him up with one of those.
Where I saw Brian Burke too.
All right, now let's talk about the last group here, which are guys who a whole bunch of Leafs got sent down yesterday. They did their first round of cuts, and it was just guys who, like, for sure, obviously weren't going to make the team.
Yeah.
These are the guys who are still there, but who are probably not going to make the team.
Okay.
So we have Ty Voigt, Braden Kesler, Dmitry Ovchinnikov, Max Ellis, Ryan Tverberg. Okay. Kokkonen, Niemela, Marshall Rafai, William Villeneuve, the Hildebeest, Vyacheslav Peksa, Keith Petrozelli, your boy. And then out of the guys who are left, Nick Abbruzzese, I'm pretty sure, is going down, but he'll get called up at some point during the year. So it is what it is. Alex Steeves, who is also known as the other Nick Abbruzzese, will be the exact same.
That's so funny.
Ronnie Hirvonen is the Finnish prospect who's going to be on the Marlies this year. So that's exciting, at least. We get to watch him and Niemela on the Marlies when we go. And then there's two guys who are actually interesting, who are really actually trying to make the team. And that's Pontus Holmberg and Nick Robertson.
Well, Nick Robertson, that's... I think you're right. I think all those, like Ty Voigt's going back to junior, you know, there's guys that are not even going to be on the Marlies, and there's guys that I think are permanent Marlies.
Yeah.
Nick Robertson, I've liked his game, man.
He has looked good, hasn't he?
He's got a jump to him. I'm sure he worked out with his brother all summer.
Yep, for sure.
And that doesn't hurt.
No. Excellent player.
Excellent player. Excellent stuff to learn from, learn shit from. So he probably knows how to go in there and be a pro. Yeah, I don't know. I really hope this is the year. And if he gets injured again, I'm going to kill myself.
I even if he doesn't make the Leafs and they send him down to the Marlies, I'd just like to see Nick Robertson play like a lot of hockey games.
Exactly.
Because like I'm just he has barely played any hockey. I'm gonna look this up, but it's absolutely ridiculous.
No, it's ridiculous
when you consider the injuries and the fact that he missed a full season because that was the weird COVID year where there was no hockey. Like, he's barely played any hockey. So 2019-20 was the COVID year. And that was the year where he played four games in the bubble against Columbus. Remember? And he scored his first goal in the playoffs, which is hilarious. The next year, he played 27 total games with the Leafs and the Marlies. The year after that, he played 38 total games with the Leafs and the Marlies. And last year, he played 17 total games. That's been Nick Robertson's like professional hockey run over the last few years. That is nothing. That's under a season in like 3 years.
In a world where people are playing 82 games, they're playing a lot of minor games. They're playing, even if you're in junior, you're playing a lot of games. If you're injured, you're not doing anything. And I've always said this about people that went through COVID in their like formative years. Cause like we got lucky. We went to college.
Yeah.
We COVID during college must have sucked. It must have been hard.
Probably.
You must have not gotten the same experience or knowledge that you would have if you had have gone to class every day. I have a lot of sympathy for people in that age gap of like 19, 20, 21, 18, that's when COVID hit. You're gapped. And I don't like you're missing years of your life. And I don't know if you can catch that up by just, you know, everything coming back to normal or if that's just gone.
Well, it doesn't help if you then break your leg and then have to have shoulder surgery.
But that's my point.
All the other shit. Like if he was going to catch up, that hasn't been able to happen either.
And I know this is a crazy comparison, but look at like McDavid. He had a great junior year. He got drafted. He started his year strong. He didn't miss anything before that. And then he breaks his collarbone. And then you're like, oh, that's a shitty injury for a great player. But guess what? He only missed the injury time. Mm-hmm. He didn't miss the world being shut down. Yeah. And so like, even Slafkovský, man, like I'm I know that's a weird comparison, but like that guy got drafted first overall, and the last 2 years of his, you know, pre-draft playing time was during COVID, and I'm sure you're not playing as many games. You're not training as hard because you're stuck at home. Like you have to give these younger kids some sympathy.
I have a really good comparison for Nick Robertson, who is Mykhailo Mudryk, who plays for Chelsea, who just came this year. Super expensive player and has looked bad until like the last month where he's finally like got it. And he scored today. He's finally scored today. And he looks like he's figured it out. And this kid is insanely talented. He's probably like the fastest player I've ever seen. And he's got all these skills, and he had only played when they signed him for a stupid fee. He had only played, I think it was like 29 professional games of pro soccer. And he was in the middle of this season in the Ukraine where he was absolutely dominating and he looked like this future world star. And then their season got shut down because Russia invaded the Ukraine.
Yeah, not even.
And then he transferred, and then all of a sudden he was in the Premier League, and he was a little out of his depth, and he was inexperienced, and it just like he just didn't know what to do because he hadn't had those games to really figure out like how to play at the pro at the highest level, and he didn't have the experience, and he missed the time where he would have got to, and it looks like he's finally figuring him out, but it took a while. And he was pretty bad for a little bit. And I think a lot of that's the same thing with Nick Robertson. He just didn't get that time. And so all I really want for him, whether he makes it or not, he just needs to get that time in. He needs to play like 70 games this year And whether those are all in the NHL or some of them are in the MLB, some of them are in the NHL, he just needs 70 games because, like, it's the same with Mudryk. Like, the talent is obvious. And so, like, if you can just get him that knowledge and get him that experience, and he can just sit there and watch all the film and sit there and go to practice every day and work with the coaches on, like, this is where you need to be. You need to make this pass. You need to do this. And then actually get all those games and get to play it and, like, freely drill it into his brain. He's going to be great, just like he was supposed to be. But if he keeps getting injured and he keeps missing time and he just never gets to build that knowledge base, it'll never happen.
No, it's so true. You need games. And I'll be honest, I've watched, because me and Ramston share a Twitter because we're married and gay. I've seen a lot of this Ukrainian kid. He kind of looks like Draco Malfoy.
He does. Absolutely.
Got the neck tattoo. And but, like, everybody hyped him up and he was supposed to be the next guy. And I think you're right. But Nick Robertson had the same thing. You kind of get pushed into the NHL at a young age because you're like, the AHL.
Too early.
It's too early. It's the classic, like, development scheme of every NHL team. They're like, you can't rush him. Can't rush him. You know, don't do anything too wild. Maybe send him back down.
Even this Shane is Wright. What happens sometimes, right?
Look at what happened with Shane Wright.
Exactly.
You know? Like, they were like, you know what? We got to send him back down. Like, that's sometimes that's the move. Sometimes you go season, do your thing.
Because you can't break their confidence either, right? That's the other thing.
Well, there's nothing worse than when you've been the best. And exactly. I think it happened the same thing with the Ukrainian kid.
Yep.
The best. And then you come into the Premier League. And I mean, you know, we grew up loving soccer and that's a dream. That's.
Absolutely. It's
one of the biggest, you know, honors you could have as a soccer player, and you show up there a little too early and you're like, I am nowhere near the pace or skill or, like, thought process or coaching or whatever and you need some time to be around those high profile players, high money clubs, massages, you know, dressing rooms perfectly.
You have to figure it out.
You got to slowly work your way up and you'll figure it out. But, like, there
and
is
this
rushing.
Kid, and it's the same thing. Like, this kid in his first game looked amazing, and then all of a sudden it just kind of fell off, and then now he's kind of got it back again, which I'm hoping is going to happen with Nick Robertson. But remember, Nick Robertson played against Columbus in the playoffs, looked good and scored, and then it just, like, he didn't make the team the next year, and then he got hurt, and then he got hurt again, and it just spiraled and spiraled and spiraled. And the other thing, though, the reason I think he'll turn it around, and this is also true of Mudryk, who, I don't know if you've seen his tattoos, but he has talent isn't enough tattooed on his neck, and he has on his calf, he has again, 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 again. Like, he's a hard worker, and Nick Robertson is an insanely hard worker. And so for that reason, I kind of believe in him too, if he can just stay healthy. That's the main thing for him.
That's the goal.
And if he plays on the Marlies, I'm fine with that. I just want him to play. Pontus Holmberg played 36. Listen, we should talk about this guy too, though. No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was going to say, I would like to go to a Marlies game and see Nick Robertson.
Nothing would make me happier than that, actually. That would be fantastic.
That would be like, okay, he's healthy. He's playing games. Yeah, he's not. Obviously, that's the
thing. He wants to be on the Leafs, right?
Yeah. Same with the Ukrainian Mudryk. You're like, yeah, I obviously everybody wants to be in the Premier League. Everybody wants to be at the top level, but, like, you're not ready, and maybe go down and play for the Marlies. Let me and Ramston see you, and we'll take our shirts off. We'll wave and have a couple beers and watch you play. It's not as prestigious as the Leafs, but, like, at least you're not sitting at home.
Yep, 100%. I really hope that's what happens. I just want him to play. I just want him to play a bunch. I feel like if he gets a bunch of games, eventually we'll be watching Nick Robertson succeeding on the Leafs. Pontus Holmberg is the other guy here. He played 37 games with the Leafs last year, and he was pretty good, actually.
He was very good.
During those 37 games.
I didn't mind him at all, man.
I feel like the only reason he's not going to start the season in the NHL is because he's waiver eligible. Like, he's waiver exempt. And so, if they send someone else down, they'll lose him. If they send Holmberg down, they won't lose Holmberg. So you keep him on the Marlies as, like, a... as a guy you bring up. But he'll play some games for the Leafs this year, and hopefully he'll be able to make that spot permanent for himself when he does.
He'll play games. I know eventually it's a long season that he'll play games, but he plays center. And now that we're doing Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, and Kampf, he's going to get pushed down.
But I don't think that's going to be during the regular season.
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't think so.
I think it is.
I don't think so. I think that's just a Kampf thing.
I think they're going to turn the first 10 games into Kampf. I think they're going
to
try.
Oh, they might do it to start even. Yeah, but like they won't be doing this. They won't be doing this when it counts.
No. But I'm saying for Holmberg, he's not going to play for like a while.
Oh yeah, yeah. I 100% agree with you.
He's gonna be in the Marlies. He's like you said. He's waiver exempt. They can send him down, no problem. But he's going to be like the center depth, which they're rolling this preseason. And I think I'm right. They're gonna do it at least for 10 games. And then maybe they'll be like, oh shit, it's not working.
I don't think it's gonna work. Yeah, but I think you're right. I think like he's gonna be like later on in the year probably.
It's not gonna work, though.
He's gonna come up around like January, and they're gonna see how it goes.
But can we talk about that? Do you don't think it's gonna work?
I don't think it's gonna work. I don't think it's a very good idea. I think it's honestly, you know what it is more than anything else, is it's a real waste of William Nylander, which just seems stupid.
Well, it's so odd because I'm like, we've tried it before and
it's never worked.
And now I don't know if you're like shoehorning it because you're like, oh, we had O'Reilly here last year. That was great. Like, I don't understand what they're doing.
It doesn't make sense.
You're right about like the ideal top six is Bertuzzi, Matthews, Marner, Nyes, Tavares, Nylander.
Yeah, absolutely. That's our six best forwards.
Those are your six best forwards, and you're telling me you're going to go in there and try to shoehorn Nylander into the third line?
It doesn't make sense. It's really ridiculous.
Is that Keith or is that True Living?
I have no idea. I assume it's just like a weird experiment, but I don't know who's responsible for it. I don't think it's going to work, and I think they'll stop doing it.
It's not going to work,
man. Also, he's borderline famous for doing like these little experiments and then always going back to the exact same thing every time.
Well, I mean, it's like we said, it's a long season, so there's lots of time to experiment. But I will say this, as a Leafs fan and as knowing a lot of Leafs fans, we do look at every game a little bit and go, huh, that was terrible.
Yeah.
Like there is a reaction to every bad game. And I'm telling you, if Nylander is at the center, is center on third line nights where the team is dog shit, people will revolt.
Yeah.
People all over the city are going to like be at the water cooler at work the next day and they're going to go, the fuck's he doing?
What are they doing?
Yeah. Like stop. Like, it's not working.
I agree. It is pretty ridiculous.
And maybe we'll all eat our shorts like Bart Simpson and
could be.
He doesn't eat shorts, but he tells people to eat shorts. And it works out great. And Nylander's got fucking, you know, he's killing it on the third line.
Could happen.
I just don't see it working that way.
I agree. There's two other guys who are worth mentioning. Well, I guess three other guys, but one of them's injured. Dylan Gambrell got signed, who they were hoping was going to make a run at a roster spot, and then he got a concussion and didn't play in any preseason games. So I'm assuming he just ends up on the Marlies.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I mean, they'll probably give him a shot at some point during the season, so they'll get a call up and we'll get to see. The other guys I wanted to bring up, the first one's Easton Cowan, who was their first round pick this year, who's been amazing. He's been really good.
I don't know this for sure, but I'm sure it's been said to death, is that the second we get a ex-Calgary Flame GM in the Leafs organization, we draft a kid first, like not in the first round, that is a Cowboy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if somebody
as he's a farmer.
I've seen photos of
him. He's from Ontario, to be fair.
I understand that, but I've seen photos of him and it's like he has a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And Ramson, I lived in Alberta for a few years. The only people that wear cowboy hats are insane.
he's a farm boy. He is a farm boy.
My sister dated a guy once, went to their graduation, was wearing a cowboy hat. All the young, you know, 17-year-old kids are in dresses and suits. He's in a suit and a cowboy hat. I've never seen anything like it. I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah, in spite of the cowboy hat, though, this kid looks...
he's killing it.
He looks terrific.
It's fantastic. I got no issue with the kid.
He's obviously not going to make the team because he's 18 and whatever, but like he looks really, actually, really fucking good.
Looks great, and I wasn't shitting on him.
I know. I'm excited to watching him, though. Like, he seems like he's going to be like an actual NHL player, which is really, really exciting. It looks like they nailed that pick. And everybody, when they picked him, was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, first of all, trade the pick. Why are you keeping the pick? Second of all, why did you pick a guy who was ranked like 50th with the pick? It looks like a really good pick. It looks like they nailed the pick.
It looks like a really good pick. I think we came on here and we were like, trade the first round pick.
Yep, absolutely. 100%.
99.9% of people talked about that first round pick for Sandin and said, trade it for something else.
Yep.
Do a deadline switch, or even a lot of people I remember during draft day were like, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Add somebody on D, do something. And they stuck to their guns. They drafted this kid and it's kind of like
like they were right.
Yeah, I kind of got like a little similar vibe from Nyes. You're like, oh, like it's not the best. Nobody's like blowing the roof off because we drafted this kid, but like, hey, this might work out. We might get a great winger out of this.
He looked real good. Like, he looked really, really good. And the other guy I had to bring up is the Leafs' first round pick from a year ago, which is Fraser Minton. I guess not a first round pick, a second round pick, but he was our highest pick that year. Same with Nyes. Nyes was a second round pick, but he was our first pick.
Oh, okay, got it.
Of the draft. Fraser Minton looks really good. And like, I don't think he's going to make the team, but he might make the team.
Like, no, he's not making the team.
I don't think he'll make the team, but they might keep him around for the 9 games or whatever before they send him down. He looks like, I know you haven't watched much of the preseason, but he looks so good. I can't even, like, him and Nyes are playing on a line together in all of these games. So apparently they're like becoming friends and off the ice and whatever. They're hanging out a lot and whatever.
I saw them at, damn it. Never mind.
So, okay. Right. But he looks like terrific. And I don't think he'll make the team, obviously. And because he's 19 and whatever, whatever. But like, if they were picking this team, not and ignoring all the contracts and ignoring all the ages and like all of these guys were random and they all just showed up and you just said like, who are the best 12 guys playing forward right now? Fraser Minton's on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I don't think they're going to keep him. I think they're going to send him back to junior because that's the smart thing to do. And Nick Robertson and blah, 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 blah. But I think he's looked so good that next year, I think he's on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know what's funny is I thought, like, I know Ty Voigt didn't have a great preseason, but like I do think he's someone similar that might get a chance to play on the team. I know we gotta go soon, but Ryan Reeves shouldn't be on this team.
No, so it's really frustrating.
It's frustrating as hell, Ramston, and I think there is a spot for one of these guys.
Yeah. And they won't get it.
And you can read my mind. That's why we're best friends. They're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. Yeah. Fraser Minton is not going to, you're right. He might get the 9 games. And then like, it's not, they put Ryan Reeves on a 3-year contract and everybody was like, oh, you know what, whatever. that means he's playing the first year.
100%.
Like, yeah, everybody's like, oh, don't worry, year two, year three, we can send him out of the mine. Year one, I guarantee.
He's playing every game, yeah.
They put that I'm sure it's in the contract. It's probably not public. He's playing games.
Oh, no, no. I mean, like, they wouldn't sign him for 3 years to not play him in the first year. There's no doubt about it.
No. So he's playing, and I agree. I think Fraser Minton, I mean, again, I haven't watched much of it, but you make a very compelling argument for him to play. I think Ryan Reeves is that spot.
Yep. I think it's exciting that he looks this good, because just it means that, first of all, it was probably a good pick, and it also means that, second of all, like, we'll get him next year, and that'll be really nice. That'll be really nice addition to the team. But in terms of this year, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think maybe if there wasn't the whole Reeves thing, even then, they probably wouldn't do it. Just because, like, they don't like to throw 19-year-olds directly in the NHL unless they're, like, Matthew Knies, and you're like, holy shit, like, we have to. He's amazing. But yeah. But he does look really good. And, I didn't think of him in a sense of, oh, this guy might be on the Leafs, like, real soon. I never had that thought about him, and now I do. So he's done that, at least.
And I will say, quickly, I know we got to go, but yeah. There is, we've been spoiled.
Yes.
We've been spoiled with picks recently, high picks that have come into the NHL quickly. But that's kind of the point of having these picks that don't play right away, because now you get that extra year. Mm-hmm. You have that depth later on that you can pull up for .950 or whatever, like, league min.
Yeah.
So I'm just – it's exciting. My father's gay, and I'm excited to see you on Wednesday.
I'm excited too. All right, buddy. Sing us out, pal.
The Leafs are going to go 82-0.